Said against Ashcroft is our next case for argument this morning. Ms. Shapiro.
Good morning. Please excuse my voice. May I please the court, Ms. Lennery? My name is Rebecca Shapiro, and I represent Mr. Said in this action. This court should reverse the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration judge's decisions because any reasonable fact finder would have been compelled to have found that Mr. Said was persecuted on account of his political opinion. It is incumbent upon an applicant for asylum to prove two things. First of all, that he was in fact persecuted, either in the past or that he has a well-founded fear of future
persecution. Which unit of government was persecuting him?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What unit of government was persecuting him?
The Palestinian Authority.
By government.
Absolutely, the Palestinian Authority.
Palestinian Authority was persecuting him?
Your Honor, Mr. Said testified, and testified credibly, as we find in the oral decision of the immigration judge who held that he gave full credit and found his testimony completely plausible, that he recognized the masked men as militants of the Palestinian Intifada and as members of the Palestinian Authority when he was approached by them.
Those are completely, potentially different categories.
Of course.
How did he recognize them as governmental officials?
Well, they either had to be governmental officials or they could have belonged to a group that the government was unwilling to restrain. He, in this case, it could have been either. They didn't have to be government officials themselves. They could have been agents of the government, and they could have been members of the Palestinian Authority who were militants of the Intifada, or they could have been members of any other group that made up the militants of the Intifada, which
yeah,
at that point
you see, that's part of my problem. You seem to be treating any supporter of the Intifada and the Palestinian Authority as equivalent, and in fact, they're not. One is a terrorist group, and the other is a unit of government. Now, the government of Israel believes that the Palestinian Authority hasn't done enough to suppress the terrorists, but that doesn't mean they're the same thing.
Your Honor, under the asylum laws, they are the same thing if it's either the government that was persecuting him or...
If it's the government's policy to support the terrorists, then they're the same thing.
It is the government's policy based on not only Mr. Said's testimony, but also the documentary evidence that was filed.
We can't find the government's policy from Said's testimony.
That's
not how government policy is.
Well, then, objectively, the news articles that were submitted documented the fact that the Palestinian Authority not only didn't stop people, but actually encouraged people to murder and people who were considered to be collaborators with the Israeli government, and the Palestinian Authority randomly detained, abducted and obtained people that they considered to be any kind of dissident to their political intent.
Is that the view of the State Department?
I'm sorry?
Is that the view of the State Department?
That they intended to do that?
That is the Palestinian Authority's position.
I am
a little skittish when somebody asks the judicial branch of government to establish its own foreign policy.
Of course.
Right, which is what you're saying. So I wonder what the State Department's view about the Palestinian Authority's activity or position is.
Your Honor, I am unclear as well, and I would defer to my colleague in the government to answer that question. But at the time of the hearing, Mr. Said gave credible testimony that he believed the masked men to be representatives of the Intifada, and that there was documentary evidence submitted that the Palestinian Authority rampantly detained people that they considered to be dissidents, including and in particular people that they considered to be Israeli collaborators. Now, when Mr. Said was approached by these men who had guns, he considered his life to be threatened, and any reasonable person who had a gun waved in their face and was told to do something or they would have been killed reasonably finds their life threatened in that situation. So, in terms of the persecution that he experienced, this court could find that he did substantiate his claim of persecution either by the fact that he was persecuted in the past by having his life threatened by masked men with guns, or that he has established a well-founded fear of persecution in the future. And then he must prove that on account of that persecution was sustained on account of one of the five enumerated grounds. In this case, it's on the ground of political opinion. If this court does not find that the persecution that he sustained or what happened to him, the incidents that he sustained with a gun being waved in his face, rises to the level of past persecution, which I would argue that it does, he is still eligible for asylum based on a well-founded fear of future persecution. Death threats are enough to sustain a claim of well-founded fear of persecution in the future.
Would anyone who is well-educated in the United States and returning to whatever this is, West Bank, I guess, be eligible for asylum? Because those seem to be the people, I guess, that are singled out.
Your Honor,
he could sing, too. So
he can sing. Needless to say, having simply returned from an education in the United States is not one of the enumerated grounds upon which he must prove that he was persecuted for. But in this case, he gave undisputed testimony that the masked men who approached him said to him, "We believe that you are an Israeli collaborator." And that places him squarely within one of the five enumerated grounds, namely political opinion. So just having returned from the United States, no, is not enough to qualify him. But having been approached and persecuted on account of their belief, the masked men's belief, that he was an Israeli collaborator, does squarely place him within the political opinion enumerated ground for protection under asylum law.
Yeah, well, he said he wasn't, and they sort of believed him. Let him go.
Well, they said to prove that
you're
not.
He came back
and
like that, but they had to go somewhere else, and then he left. Now, the second departure may be a big problem. Huh? You can always lie to him, I guess.
Well, I think as long as he was willing to say, no, in fact, I agree with you, I am on your political side, then they would be assuaged. But the truth is that he was not on their political side. He only said that he was not an Israeli collaborator, and that was true, but that doesn't make him pro-intifada. And at the time, and continuing till today, the Palestinian Authority and the militants of the Intifada were cracking down on anyone who was even pro-peace, which is considered to be anti-intifada. He was persecuted for both the fact that he was anti-intifada and for an imputed political opinion that he was an Israeli collaborator.
Well, anybody who's lucky enough to get out of there, and then they could always get asylum over here, it seems, because obviously they'd have I can't imagine living there. You know, when people just come up and mask with guns and accuse you of being an Israeli collaborator, how are you going to? Just other than saying you're not.
Explain for your life.
They can point the gun at anybody they want.
Well, an asylum applicant has to prove that A, he was persecuted, and B, that he was persecuted on account of his political opinion. In this case, we have uncontroverted testimony that he was persecuted out of the mouths of the people who were persecuting him for a political reason. And because Mr. Saeed can prove that individually, he individually is eligible for asylum.
And all of this was on his own testimony, which they believed.
Which they absolutely believe.
Which is all they have. Nobody's witnessing it.
That's true, but it's all he needs. Under the asylum law, all he needs is credible, consistent testimony, and the immigration judge found him to be fully credible. If there are no further questions, I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Certainly, Ms. Shapiro. Ms. Guarnieri.
May it please the court, my name is Linda Guarnieri, and I represent the government in this case. Government asks this court to affirm the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals because the record does not compel the conclusion that Mr. Saeed was indeed targeted on account of a political opinion. In his asylum application and sworn declaration, in his testimony before the immigration judge, in his brief to the board, and his opening brief to this court, Mr. Saeed claims that he was targeted by these three masked men because he's a talented singer, and because he was educated in the United States, and because he was tall and dark. Mr. Saeed specifically explained the singing aspect by going into the history of the Palestinians using singing on recorded tapes or cassettes, singing songs about violent uprisings, and that this was what the members of the Intifada used in order to get people involved in a violent overthrow of the government. He also explained at great length that he was targeted and not his brothers, because he was the singer. He had the talented singing voice. He had the United States education. So that the three masked men simply would not be interested in his brothers because they lacked these qualifications. A single statement in the very first meeting between the three masked men and Mr. Saeed a single statement accusing him of being an Israeli collaborator is simply insufficient to compel a reasonable fact finder that that's the reason why they targeted Mr. Saeed. They made the statement, he denied it, they said, we don't want to argue about it, but you can show us you're not a collaborator by working with us. Mr. Saeed continued the conversation with him, then he said, I have to go meet my uncle. The three men let him go. Said, okay, go meet your uncle, but you come back a second time. Mr. Saeed came back a second time, no mention about Israeli collaboration. Meet us a third time, let him go again. So what the evidence shows is that they used that statement in order to get Mr. Saeed's attention. They never harmed him at the first visit. They never tried, if they truly wanted to punish him for being a collaborator, they had the opportunity at the first meeting to do so. At the second meeting, they didn't.
U.S. government's view about whether the Palestinian Authority supports or tolerates violence against Palestinians who support peace?
Your Honor, the State Department report, that's a matter of record. In this case, it's a 1997 country report. There's no allegation in that report that the Palestinian Authority actively supports terrorism against Israelis. There is mention that the Palestinian with regard to human rights, the only mention in those reports are with regard to journalists or other individuals.
Why is the report in the record, the 1997 report?
I believe that was
the Intifada is rather more recent than that, isn't it?
I believe there was an Intifada in the early 90s, and then there's a more recent Intifada. But the hearing in front of the immigration judge, if I'm not mistaken, was in 99, so that was most likely the most current report that was introduced into the record.
But in any event, my question is, what is the position of the executive branch on this issue right now, since we are trying to determine whether this man will be returned right now?
Well, Your Honor, this is a very delicate situation, and the country reports are what the Department of Justice rely upon in these immigration cases for the government's position. The 1997 country report is the only report that is a matter of record in this case. The most recent country
is the best I can say, the 2002 report, which, and these things are on the State Department's website. You speak for the United States as of right now, not as of 1997. Country conditions change with some frequency. I can't find anything in the 1992 report that seems to address this particular question, but I haven't read it with the care that this might deserve.
I have before.
It's very long.
I have reviewed the most recent country report, and there is no indication in that report that the Palestinian Authority actively, I'm forgetting Your Honor's question, was it whether or not they go after Israeli collaborators?
Whether it either supports or abets harm to the Palestinians who support peace.
No, Your Honor. There's no indication in the most recent country report of that by the Palestinian Authority. In this case, the board and the immigration judge never even reached the issue of whether these three men were a group that the Palestinian Authority was unable or unwilling to control, because they found they didn't meet the first burden, which was showing that you were targeted on account of a political opinion. Since that wasn't met, that's where the agency stopped its analysis. And that conclusion is supported by substantial evidence.
Well, he was targeted then because he was tall, dark, educated, and a good singer. And they just wanted him to help and advance their cause?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's the testimony in the case. That's the allegations in the brief to this court and to the board. And the Supreme Court in Elias Zacharias has said that is not enough. That when a group tries to target an alien in order to fill its ranks, to support its cause, that is not sufficient to show persecution on account of a political opinion, and that's exactly what we have here. Mr. Saeed has claimed that there is some evidence of a political opinion because of the one statement about being an Israeli collaborator, but what the court in Elias made clear was, well, it said some evidence can be sufficient.
Well, there has to be some evidence, since, unless I'm completely mistaken, it is the position of the government of Israel that the Palestinian Authority is either in league with the Intifada or not taking any active steps or enough active steps to protect those who are not in league with the Intifada. One would think that's important evidence to be taken into account.
But, Your Honor, that doesn't answer the question of whether or not these men were interested in Mr. Saeed because of his political perceived political opinion against them. If they're only interested in him because he's somebody who would be a good spokesperson, that's not persecution on account of political opinion. And therefore, it's not a ground for asylum. And the Supreme Court has made it perfectly clear, and this court has followed Elias Zacharias and applied it, for example, in Bredvica, found that forced...
It is encouraging that you think we actually follow the Supreme Court.
But of course
there are circuits, there are circuits in which the Department of Justice has a contrary view.
That's correct, Your Honor. But
you have no case, then. There's no precedent here where someone, where the courts or the State Department or whatever recites some kind of a situation, so there's a line one side or the other. If they put a gun to your head and say, we're going to kill you, as opposed to they put a gun to your head and say, we want you to be our advocate, there seems to be a distinction.
That's correct, Your Honor, because what the refugee statute allows is a refugee status for someone who's persecuted on account of political opinion is the ground claimed here, and what the Supreme Court has said is if they want you to help their side, that's not persecution on account of political opinion.
Well, some would say persecution is being conscripted into some involuntary servitude or something that they don't want to do, but that apparently doesn't meet that standard, then. Or maybe that isn't a standard.
That would be a different case, and possibly they could fit it under a different, particular social group or something like that, but the claim here is political opinion. It's and the Supreme Court has already rejected this claim, and we ask this court to affirm the decision of the board. If there are no further questions, mm-hmm. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Anything further, Ms. Shapiro?
Your Honor, political opinion need only be one of the reasons that he was targeted. It is true that he might have been valuable to the militants because of other reasons, because he could sing, because he was educated, but political opinion need only be one reason. It is the only reason that they gave in the moment that they were threatening his life that they were persecuting him. They only said that the reason
that they were there was because they can't persecute him. Only governments can persecute people, and that's why I'm looking for this link. If the government protects a group of private, hoodlums, then their actions may be attributed to the government. But if they're just private hoodlums, you're not being persecuted, right? If somebody burns a cross on your front lawn in Indiana, and the government tries to find the perpetrator but can't, you haven't been persecuted.
But the government has to try. The government has to try. Just Saturday, November 29, 2003, on the front page of the New York Times, there was an article that was titled, Coerced or Not, Palestinians Who Assist Israel Face Death. And that article said that Palestinian militants have taken it upon themselves to deal with suspected collaborators. Many vigilante killings have been carried out by Al-Aqsa, which is linked with Arafat's Fatah movement. Your Honor, all that he had to come up with was some evidence. Elias Zacharias says that
that's where you keep losing me. The Ku Klux Klan may have had the support of Mississippi in the 1880s, but it doesn't have the support of Indiana in the 1980s. So there's a big difference, even if the underlying private group is the same and doing the same things, according to what the government is doing. That's why I keep trying to get you to focus on what the Palestinian Authority is itself doing.
The Palestinian Authority is encouraging people to bring to justice extrajudicially people who they consider to be Israeli collaborators. That is the policy of the Palestinian Authority. They themselves, the Al-Aqsa, which is connected to Mr. Arafat's Fatah movement, are carrying out these killings themselves. And that must be then the policy of the Palestinian Authority. And we would encourage this court to reverse the BIA and the IJ on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.